Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text 23. Tatapi brumahe prasnams tavarajanyata srutam sambhashaniyo hi bhavan atmana sudhim ichita. Tatapi brumahe prasnams tavarajanyata srutam sambhashaniyo hi bhavan atmana sudhim ichita. Tatapi brumahe prasnams tavarajanyata srutam sambhashaniyo hi bhavan atmana sudhim ichita. Matajis. Tatapi, still, brumahe, I shall answer, prasnan, all the questions, tava, your, rajan, O king, yatasrutam, as I have learned, by hearing from authorities. Sambhashaniya, fit for being addressed. He, indeed, bhavan, you, atmanaha, of the self, sudhim, purification, ichita, by one who desires. Translation. My dear king, although you know everything, you have posed some questions, which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. A saintly person doesn't wish to speak to anyone and everyone, and he is therefore grave and silent. Generally, a common man does not need to be advised. Unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him, although sometimes, because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. As for Prahlad Maharaj, however, since he was not a common ordinary man, whatever questions he posed would have to be answered even by a great and exalted personality. Therefore, the saintly Brahmin did not remain silent, but began to answer. These answers, however, were not concocted by him. This is indicated by the words yata srutam, meaning, as I have heard from the authorities. In the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. One must refer to the shastras and give answers according to Vedic understanding. The words yata srutam refer to Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are known as Sruti because this knowledge is received from authorities. The statements of the Vedas are known as Sruti Praman. One should quote evidence from the Sruti, the Vedas or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. Otherwise, one's words will proceed from mental concoction. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for allowing me to serve all of you today. I pray and beg for the senior Vaishnavas to give me their blessings and mercy that I may speak on the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya Siddhanta that's given to us by Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas. So in human life is meant for atato brahma jigyasa, inquiring. And here we're continuing with the inquiring of Prahlad Maharaj. So what is he inquiring about? He is inquiring about spiritual matters. Atato brahma jigyasa, to inquire into what is Brahman. And that is what human life is meant for. It's meant for asking deep questions about life, about who we are, where we're from, what we're doing, what we're meant to do. But so many people nowadays are not asking questions, and they're not wanting to ask questions. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya paritta chetasam vyavasatmika buddhi samadhao navadiyate. That people are very much infatuated with bhoga and aishvarya. Bhoga, sense gratification, aishvarya, the opulences of this material world. And they're constantly being distracted by sense gratification and small pleasures in this world to really ask sincere questions. In fact, in this life you can see that people, they're suffering very much because of confusion, because of the world that we're living in. Dukalayam ashashvatam, this world, if we look around, there's so much going on in this world that creates so much suffering. Either natural disasters, wars, poverty, famine, disease. There's a lot of suffering going on. And people don't want to ask, why are we suffering? Why do we have to suffer? Instead, they're being distracted by new iPhones and new technology. People are so much infatuated with little technology that my good friend David pointed out that in Los Angeles, people were using homeless men to wait in line to buy new iPhones. They were actually duping homeless people to stand in line so they didn't have to wait in line for the new iPhones. And you can see that they're working so hard day and night. And then when they get home, they turn on the television or they absorb themselves in what's on the internet, something that's actually very illusory. If you think about real enjoyment, you'd think they would go home to a big banquet or they would go home and really enjoy the senses, but they go and they enjoy in such a way that's even more illusory than this gross sense gratification. And so Prahlad Maharaj is setting the example for us. He's a great soul that has had personal darshan of Nrisimhadev, and he's the king. And so he's setting an example of somebody who goes out and inquires. And he's the king. Nowadays, even the politicians, they're acting as politicians, but they're just as immersed in sense gratification as everybody else and motivated by personal desires, greed, and lust. So Prahlad Maharaj is setting the example. And we see that saintly persons, it says here that they don't wish to speak to anyone and everyone. Therefore, the saintly person is grave and silent. And we see in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, if we look at the lives of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji or Vamsi Das Babaji, these great souls in the culture of India, it's kind of become degraded that somebody would go to a sadhu and instead of asking for spiritual enlightenment, they instead ask for blessings for material things. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he became so disgusted with these materialistic people coming to him asking for material benedictions that he actually retreated into a latrine and he did his bhajan in a latrine, showing that he didn't want to have anything to do with this material world. And the same with Vamsi Das Babaji. There's a wonderful pastime where this person kept coming to Vamsi Das Babaji over and over again, asking for material benedictions. And so finally Vamsi Das Babaji pulled off his kopan and he said, "You want my material benediction? Here it is." And the man became disgusted and ran away. So we see by these two great souls examples that they were trying to show the materialistic persons that they were not interested in having material dialogue. They wanted to actually help those who were sincere. And we see in their lives that those who were very sincere in wanting to take on devotional service, that those great souls would help them. And even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, we see that in his later years, he was so busy with preaching that so many people would want to have his association in darshan. And so he had a screening process to screen out who were sincere and who just wanted to have some material association. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the person would come in and he would say, he would ask them, "Are you a servant of Krishna?" And if they answered yes, he would say, "Okay, thank you. I don't have any time right now. I'll see you some other time. I'm very busy." But if he asked them, "Are you the servant of Krishna?" And they answered, "No, I'm not the servant of Krishna. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. I'm trying to serve the Vaishnavas." Then he would say, "I will give you my whole time. I will give you my life." And he would help them be sincere in devotional service. So we can see that the saintly persons, they generally want to help those who are sincere and they don't want to waste time with those who are insincere. And Srila Prabhupada talks about how out of kindness, though, great saintly persons will speak to ordinary men. And even Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking about in the Srila Prabhupada's videos when Srila Prabhupada is speaking with the cardinal and the cardinal is battling him so much and, you know, you see Srila Prabhupada shaking his leg. And Srila Prabhupada is being very merciful to him. And so this shows that we should have a certain mood of inquiring from saintly persons. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshanaha, that we should submissively inquire to those who are saintly personalities. We should submissively inquire and we should try and do some service for them. We should try to serve those who are saintly. Because then, whatever we're inquiring, it'll really sink in. if we back it up with some service. This is the whole culture of addressing sadhus and approaching sadhus. Not that we approach sadhus for, oh, I need to pass an exam, or I need to go for a job interview, or I need blessings like this, I need a new car, I need a new house, please give me your blessings. These are all illusory. They're not lasting in this material world. They will fade. But those sadhus, they want to cut out all of the materialistic knots in our heart. All these knots that are in our hearts over years and years and years of materialistic conditioning. The sadhu wants to help us get out. And in the process of inquiry, we see the examples of Arjuna and Maharaj Parikshit, because we're reading about Prahlad Maharaj inquiring. And we see the inquiry of Arjuna. Arjuna had a very fraternal relationship with Krishna, but he gave up that friendship to really take shelter of Krishna. Arjuna, who's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he was asked to do something that most of us can't even conceive of. He was asked to engage in warfare with his family, his cousins, his brothers, people that he grew up with and loved. And here's Arjuna, who's going to go to war with them and have to kill them. And so he becomes greatly, greatly disturbed. Although we know that Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. And so, again, Arjuna is acting like this for our benefit, so that we can hear Krishna speak about so many subject matters. And the same with Maharaj Parikshit. Again, pure Vaishnava from his birth, eternal associate of Krishna. And under some certain circumstances that were arranged by Krishna, placing the snake on the Brahmin's shoulders, Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. So he had to give up his kingdom. He had to give up everything. And he took shelter of Shukadeva Goswami, and he had 7 days to live. 7 days to inquire what is truth, what is reality. And he didn't ask Shukadeva Goswami anything materialistic. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedas. It's the essence of the Vedas. And so we see that Maharaj Parikshit is gaining the highest knowledge of Shukadeva Goswami so he can perfect his life within 7 days. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see the inquiry of Srila Sanatan Goswami. Srila Sanatan Goswami, after disengaging himself in the affairs of the Mohammedan kingdom, he went to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi. And there, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, Kami, who am I? Everybody's saying I'm a great pundit, but I'm miserable and I'm suffering. Who am I? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, you have been blessed with the mercy of Krishna. So you know all of these questions. You know everything. And actually, the three miseries do not affect you at all. And he said, but because you are a sadhu, you're acting out of strictness. You're asking out of strictness. So even though Srila Sanatan Goswami, associate of the Lord, was inquiring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew the answers to all of the questions, but he was asking out of strictness. He was showing by example, and also for our benefit. And we even see, again, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in speaking with Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being the Lord himself, he's asking questions to Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy says that he's repeating like a puppet. The Lord is making him talk. So this is the real process of inquiry for those who are materialistic and those who are even in devotional life. Even in devotional life, we place ourselves on a very humble position, wanting to ask those who are senior to us, those who are more advanced. Even if we might think we know the question, we still want to submissively inquire so that we can get new realizations, so that we can get a new, fresh understanding that they might have. And so this comes to the next point in the purport, yata srutam, as I have heard from the authorities. So the Brahmin who's speaking to Prahlad Maharaj, some say this is Dattatreya who's speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. This Brahmin, he says that yata srutam, as I have heard from the authorities. So he's not going to concoct anything. And Prabhupada makes the point that in the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. So we should ask from those who are authorities. In this world, so many people are acting as authorities in so many materialistic ways. Those who are authorities in the medical field, authorities in so many different areas. And the real authority on spiritual life are those who are in the parampara, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. These are the real authorities. And so when we ask bona fide questions, we will get bona fide answers. So in some cases, certain devotees, they would ask Srila Prabhupada questions, and Prabhupada would make the statement that I'm not an answering machine. You know, not just to you come and ask so many questions. But the question should be sincere, from the heart, for bettering our understanding of spiritual life, Vedic knowledge. Not that we just ask some question just for the sake of asking and then not really caring what the answer is. We should really want to ask sincerely. And so those who are in the parampara system, they follow the yata srutam, hearing from authorities, and they repeat what the authorities have said. And Srila Prabhupada points out, the statements of the Vedas are known as Sruti Praman. So Praman means evidence. And Praman is used to prove the Prameya, the truth. And there's one main Praman for those in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our main Praman, our evidence. And in other Sampradayas, there is other evidence that they use, other Praman, like Pratyaksha, Anuman, Upaman, Shabda, Aitiha, Artapati, Sambhava, and Anupalabdi. But all of these, if we look at it, Pratyaksha is direct perception, Anuman, inference, Upaman, analogy, Shabda, knowledge revealed through sound, Aitiya, traditional knowledge, Artapati, derivative knowledge, Sambhava, probability, Anupalabdi, knowledge deduced from the non-perceived. But all of these have to do with sense perception. And this is a problem because us human beings, we have the four defects. We are illusioned, we have a tendency to commit mistakes, we cheat others, and we have imperfect senses. So these other evidences that are taken in the other sampradayas, especially in the Naya philosophy, we see that it's all based on sense perception. And so it can be defective. Whereas the Praman of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's coming directly from the Lord. So there's no defect in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literature, such as the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, all these different literatures, they are known as Shruti Praman. And there's a very nice discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after instructing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Vedanta Sutra, he asks if he has any questions. He's been sitting silent for 7 days. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts talking about how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is taking the statements of the Vedas in an indirect way, rather than taking the direct meaning. And how this is, you start creating so many imaginations and you can't understand what is the real truth. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the Madhya Lila chapter 6, texts 135 and 137, he talks about how materialistically, conch shells and cow dung, it could be considered impure because it's the bone and stool of living entities. And we know that bones and stool are impure. But according to the Vedas, the conch shell and the cow dung are pure. So our reasoning, our logical reasoning and other praman that we can use, we can run into some obstructions in our knowledge. And so we have to take the direct meanings of the Vedas, not try to change anything or try to misconstrue an indirect meaning out of the Vedas. We have to take it for what it is. And so Srila Prabhupada here is stating that one should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. And this is again why we have to study Srila Prabhupada's books so intently, is that we can come up with so many imaginations, so many concoctions in our mind. But as we sing every day in Guru Puja, that Asha, we don't want any other desire in our mind other than the spiritual master's desire. We want the words of the spiritual master in our heart. So we have to understand what are the words of the spiritual master, what is he teaching, and go through Srila Prabhupada's books like lawyers who know the law books. And so all of our statements will be correct. There will be no need for mental concoction. But then we can get trapped up in just studying for the sake of studying. As the 11th canto states that, in the 11th canto, chapter 11, text 18, says, if through meticulous study one becomes expert in reading Vedic literature, but makes no endeavor to fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's endeavor is certainly like that of a man who works very hard to take care of a cow that gives no milk. In other words, the fruit of one's laborious study of Vedic knowledge will simply be the labor itself. There will be no other tangible result. My dear Uddhava, that man is certainly most miserable who takes care of a cow that gives no milk, an unchaste wife, a body totally dependent on others, useless children or wealth not utilized for the right purpose. Similarly, one who studies Vedic knowledge devoid of my glories is also most miserable. So there can be Vedic scholars, as we were hearing Srila Prabhupada speak on Sunday morning. There might be so many scholars of Bhagavad Gita, so many scholars of the Vedas, but they don't understand the real devotional meaning behind them. They're trying to misconstrue their own mental concoction, even hearing from Shastrikrit Prabhu yesterday about the man that was preaching to the girl about reading Bhagavad Gita because it had nothing to do with God. They can make so many misconceptions. So scholars, they can make so many misconceptions out of the Vedas. But this is why we have to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books. Because in the purport, he is giving us all the Acharya's understanding. He's giving us the whole parampara in his books. And also in this regard, we hear about the South Indian Brahmin that Lord Chaitanya met on a South Indian tour at Rangakshetra. This Brahmin was reading daily Srimad Bhagavad Gita. He would read the 18 chapters every day. And the other Brahmins, they would make fun of him because sometimes he would pronounce it correctly, sometimes he would pronounce it incorrectly. And so they were kind of criticizing him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that he was experiencing sattvika bhav. He was crying. Hairs were standing on end. He was ecstatic reading Bhagavad Gita. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to this Brahmin and he asked, which part of Bhagavad Gita are you relishing? And the Brahmin revealed that I'm illiterate. I don't know what I'm exactly reading. Sometimes I pronounce it properly, sometimes I don't. I'm just following my guru's orders that I should read Bhagavad Gita. And when I read Bhagavad Gita, when I'm trying to read, I see the blackish, beautiful form of Krishna who's taken the reins and is on Arjuna's chariot. and I see Krishna so beautiful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the real authority on Bhagavad Gita. So all these other Brahmins who were criticizing this one Brahmin, they might not have understood as well as him as on Bhagavad Gita, because he was understanding the essence of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service to Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. This is the essence of all the Vedic literature, is that we're the eternal servants of Krishna, and we should mold our lives, our existence, around trying to reinstate our eternal love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He's given us everything to do that. All we have to do is be grateful and humble and take to this process and engage in devotional service under the proper authorities. So if anybody has any questions or comments that they would like to ask or make. Yes, Prabhu? He said that you're the real authority on Bhagavad Gita. And so, yes, Prabhu.
And read Prabhupada's books, and there's one statement in the Bhagavad Gita that says that one should not disturb the mind of the ignorant. And Srila Prabhupada says, but the devotees of the Lord, they take the risk to go, and because he knows the desire of the Lord. And I was just remembering also that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yarida katare kaha Krishna upades. Whoever you see, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. So apparently it may appear that it contradicts that one should, you know, the saintly person should not do this or do that. But that's why
Srila Prabhupada says, though, he says that unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him, although sometimes, because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that what you're stating here, there's no contradiction that for those who are, especially under Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that our mission is to go out and preach and to reawaken their love for God.
Correct, because there are different kinds of sadhus too. Some sadhus choose not to, and in the case of Prabhupada, he crossed the ocean, he came, and he just gave it to everyone. In the same mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the same mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu.
Is there anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.